Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to Wellness Works with me, Centria Dorsey of Eddie's Wellness and Resource Center. Today, our topic is Easter versus Resurrection. Which is it to you? And today, my two guests are actually my mom, Rose Chance, and my auntie, Carolyn Chance. Hello, ladies. I see Mom, you're on.
Hello.
How are you today?
Good, thank you. And yourself?
Very well.
Good.
So how's your week been so far while we wait for Carolyn to get on?
Well, it's been good.
Good? Okay. What strategies have you been using to assist you through all the changes that have been going on with this pandemic that we're dealing with right now?
Well, I've been keeping in contact with my pastor in Baltimore, Maryland, or he's we don't call her pastor anymore. We call her apostle.
Okay.
Linda Harvey, we've been talking about the pandemic and she keeps us abreast of everything that's going on and what we should be doing and having the God connection while we're, you know, going through this. So,
mm-hmm.
So you know, that's been a help, getting me through.
Right.
So, And knowing that, you know, God, He is in control. and I believe that I'm covered, you know, even though the weapon may be formed, but the Bible said it won't prosper. So
exactly.
That's what I can stand on.
Okay. And hello, Carolyn. How are you? Great to have you on today.
Thank you so much. I'm glad to be here. Glad that I can be a servant.
So what we were just talking about, not the topic yet, I was just asking Mom how what strategy she was using to deal with the change in our social system right now due to this dis-ease that is occurring. So she was just giving some feedback on that. If you'd like to add to it, you can, and we can just go ahead and jump into our conversation for today.
Well, as far as what's going on, the viruses and whatever, you know, the Bible tells us that we're going to have all kinds of viruses and whatever to come upon this world throughout the ages because, number one, it's the fallen world.
Mm-hmm.
In Psalms 91, it tells me that I don't have to be concerned about that because it says 1,000 can fall at my side and 10,000 at my right hand, but it will not come nigh my dwelling. With my eyes
right.
will I see the reward of the wicked. And so I hold on to that. And I also just, you know, make sure that I'm constantly praying and holding on to his word, because he said there's life in his word.
So today, actually, like you said, just operating out of facts and faith and not fear, I think that's the biggest thing to take from this right now. And
right.
with that in mind, because I know I go on Facebook every now and again, and some of the things I see that people have posted, it just kind of blows my mind, because I'm like, well, just because they said lockdown and, you know, stay home doesn't mean you can't go outside. So
right.
if anybody is in the house, has been in the house for 30 straight days, yeah, you might have some issues.
I have not been in the house.
Outside.
I have not been
outside.
In the house for 30 straight days. I want you to
know
that.
I know you haven't.
Okay.
I know you haven't.
And so, but I do what the governor, because God says that we need
yes.
to make sure that we obey the laws of the land, and he has put out a proclamation saying, if you're going to go into the stores, number one, you need to stay 6 feet away from the next person. Number two, as of tonight at 8 o'clock, we must wear a mask. And I'm doing that. I find out that wearing that mask is very good, because people have no idea of the droplets of liquid that come out as they speak.
Very true.
You know, they don't know that. And guess what? God is not the orchestrator of this virus. That's not him.
No.
He said, I came that you might have life, and that more abundantly. I did not
right.
come to give you diseases. My Father... Now, we're just looking at it naturally. Would you, as a mother and a father, would you give your child a disease?
No.
Just for GP? No. I treat my father just like I would treat better than the natural man. And my father says, I'm not going to do that to you. I don't lie, and I'm not going to give you that disease. But they keep forgetting where they live. They live in a fallen world. Just go first.
Yep.
So I was
saying at the least, go on. Go on. If you didn't finish, go on. Finish.
No, it's just that, you know, the fear. The first thing that this thing, when this virus came out, the Lord told me, he says, I have not given you the spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind.
Right.
He says, so if you have fear, it didn't come from me.
Right.
And so a lot of us do not look at, well, what is causing this fear? Why am I afraid? I have this, I'm not planning on going anywhere anytime soon, but if I leave here, I know where I'm going.
Right.
Right.
So, and I was just saying to say, like, right now we're outside. We came up to Hagerstown so we can get some fresh air, chill out with the horses, and enjoy God's creation. And still maintain the law.
You got the horses.
We still social distance.
Ducks and the geese and the chipmunks and the squirrels
right.
and the rats and the turkey vultures, and I'm going like, oh my goodness gracious, this is just too many critters.
Yeah.
And I have lovely trees to look at.
All right.
So have nothing but
it's still creation.
It's still his creation. He did it all.
So, at this point, we're going to go ahead and get into our topic today. We just had a unique resurrection or Easter for those who celebrated that way. Sunday passed,
yes,
where most people enjoyed their services online. Did you find that that took away from anything, or did you find that you still were was able to tap into the flow of the Holy Spirit with whomever you were fellowshipping with remotely?
So shall I go first? Or?
No, you can go first.
I live by myself. I live by myself. So when I fellowship, I'm fellowshipping with the Lord. And it does not affect the fellowshipping of going out to church, because I am the church. That's according
right.
to the Bible. I am the ecclesia. I am the called out one. So therefore, it's not a building. That's what people, you know, get mixed up. Church is not a building.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a place for gathering.
Mm-hmm.
And so I still take the time to send a text out and say, Happy Resurrection Day. I still took the time out to say, how are you doing? Send a text and whatever. So even though I'm distancing, I'm not isolated.
Right.
So there's a difference. I'm not isolated. Okay. So I'm in a body of believers, and if we have the same spirit, that makes me not isolated. And long as I'm in the spirit of the family and the Father, I'll never be isolated.
Right. And then I think people get hung up on being in the building, because where the word says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. But as we know, there are many different ways to assemble together, especially now. And it doesn't
you know
require
what?
When you say brick and mortar. So
I have a question.
About,
I have a thing about that, too, because in the early church, now, they went from house to house to house. And I seriously
right.
believe that the Lord is going back to that house to house to house in
mm-hmm.
small groups again.
Yes.
You're in a large body. You're in a body, a large body. That one man cannot get to 3,000 people.
Everyone.
So he has
exactly.
a different one to get to that individual, to minister to them if necessary. But, you know,
right.
it's much, much better if you come in with the, you know, with the mindset of I'm going to participate, not only participate, but I'm going to be able to provide some information. That's how all of the wrong thinking is dispelled, because you get in a small group, you don't feel confrontational,
mm-hmm.
you know, you can
mm-hmm.
get out a whole lot more than what you would normally get out.
Mm-hmm.
You can have questions
yep.
answered that you would not normally have answered.
You know, with that in mind, too, I was looking at over the last few years, when I do go to services, I find that I'm going more and more to services that are like Bible study or Sunday school,
uh-huh.
because they are the small group settings, and it is interactive. You can
right.
ask questions. You can give your feedback.
Right.
And in being able
right.
to just give simple feedback, you can get the information to know whether or not you're thinking correctly on whatever the topic
right.
is. So,
and that's one of the problems that they had in the olden church, where, you know, the scriptures where it said, you know, ladies, you keep silent in the church.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that was because
mm-hmm.
they wanted to ask questions and say stuff and whatever, and their man was saying, look, you got to wait till you get home. Talk to your husband about that. You be quiet. Because they'd be ready to interrupt
right.
and ask questions. And
oh,
God
right.
is saying, you know, with the small group, you can do that. I mean, Jesus
mm-hmm.
taught to thousands at a time, but he was preaching the actually he was telling people the gospel of his Father.
Mm-hmm.
And if they needed to, he never turned anyone away. He never walked away from anyone, you know. And then while he was there, he still sent his disciples out. It
mm-hmm.
wasn't just the 12. It was 70 and then some that he would send out. And can you imagine him trying to cover the earth at that time, walking or in the ship and whatever? It just wasn't
right.
going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I think we put too much stock in the brick and mortar building. It's there,
yeah.
However, and I'm not saying that it is wrong, but what I'm
mm-hmm.
saying is that, you know, just looking at this coronavirus, what it's saying at this point in time is that God said, this is an opportunity for you to get back in touch with me, for you to get back
mm-hmm.
in touch with your family and with other
mm-hmm.
folks instead of social media, looking at your phone, looking at television, even though you can look at television, you know, it gets you a chance to
right.
appreciate God even more so.
Yes.
And I'm going to stop talking because I'm talking too much.
That is so true. That is so true because yesterday evening I got a text for a house party from Mika,
mm-hmm.
and that's one of my nieces, and it was about five or six or seven people on there, you know,
mm-hmm.
and I was like, oh, I'm not. That's too many people. I'll see y'all. Talk to y'all later. You know, because it was too much going on at one time. So I'm like, but then I end up calling back, and I'm like, I said, that really, yeah, so I should call back and let them know, you know, something. But
yeah.
I called back, but it still wasn't for me, wasn't working out for me. So I just said, thank you. Good seeing everybody, but I'll talk to you later.
Right.
You know,
but you
yeah.
did at least reach out and let them know that
right.
you responded to the call. You did make
right.
the attempt. Okay, you have to adjust to the technology, and that's going to take time because that can be a sensory overload for some people. To have all of that coming at you, not really knowing where to go with it. So it's understandable, but you did reach out. You did get back. You did
yeah.
communicate.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't ignore them.
Right.
And that is what
right.
was more important. So, so just taking those steps, I mean, you still have learned. You learned something else yesterday just by doing that. So,
yeah.
and that's what it's going to take. It's going to take each of us learning what we need to do at this point to, like I said, further the message of the gospel and be the ministers to the people that are in our individual circles at this point. So let's get back. What is Easter? What have you guys found out? What is Easter in and of itself as you understand it?
Wow. I'll go first. For me,
mm-hmm.
it is a holiday. That, like, the way I was brought up, it was a holiday that that the world put that name on for the resurrection.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But they celebrate as Easter. We celebrate as resurrection. Christians,
mm-hmm.
believers, we celebrate as resurrection. So. That's what I understood Easter to be. It's about the bunny, the candy, the Easter eggs, you know. It's a celebration, but they're celebrating in their way, the world's way, instead of, I would say, the Bible way.
Okay. And Carolyn? Carolyn?
You really want to... Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah, I mean, abridged version.
Abridged version. Okay. So,
yeah.
Looking at the abridged version, Easter
okay.
is a pagan holiday, number one. It came from Nimrod way back, who
mm-hmm.
was actually the son of Noah.
Mm-hmm.
And it followed all the way through to Babylonia,
and then to the Romans. And all it is Easter was the name of a goddess who was a goddess of sunshine and a goddess of fertility. So it was not anything that had anything to do with Christ, but I don't look at it in that sense. I look at it in the sense of why they did these things. What was the purpose of them having a celebration with this goddess around the same time as we have now? They were celebrating that before Christ even came. And so that just lets me know that if you really dig back through the history and whatever, Satan has been trying for eons to figure out the times and the seasons as to when, number one, he wanted to know when Christ was coming. And so whatever he could do to pervert anything that had to do with Christ, he was going to do it. And so we know that as a Christian and born-again believer that that time is for Passover. And it's usually around that time where individuals celebrate Passover. And then it was a reason why they did it during the early part of the spring. It was to celebrate them passing over, them coming from being taken out of Egypt and from the death angel passing over them. Because they had the lamb's blood on the door. And so if you look at what happened, it was during that time, but then it supposedly now, we celebrated in April, but their first month when God told them to deal with that was in the first month, and their first month is in October. So
correct.
When you look at that, you look at when he died, and so it's like, why is Satan? I want to know why Satan wants to pollute. So I know his job is to pervert what people are saying. So basically, Easter has become something that's capital that you buy, something to make money.
Right, and I'll go to another of it, which is. Most people now, because we are removed from the original traditional celebrations of all of the holidays, but in particular with this Easter, people are just looking at it as a celebration of spring coming in, a celebration of new life, because spring brings the new growth, the new life. So in that, I think that's where people, the early church, saw the perfect opportunity to assimilate that into the Resurrection Day holiday because of that easy parallel. And of course, we find this with Christmas also. It's just one of those things that it was easy for the church to do.
You know what? I don't know if it was so much easy for the church because, believe it or not, when the United States was done, the Americas, when they came over for the first 100 years, they never celebrated Easter because they knew it was a pagan god worship. So they never the United States never did that. The 13 colonies never did that. It was only after like the 1870s, that they actually started celebrating Easter, and you could see that it was based on what they could do as far as capitalistic goals, any kind of money goals. Hello?
I'm here.
Okay.
I don't know what century it was.
I don't know what happened to her either. I pray that everything is okay.
So I know the phone was going out as she was talking.
As she was talking?
Yeah. As she was getting down to the last bit, it was going out.
Okay. She might be in one of those areas that's, you know.
Oh, okay. Uh-huh. Not when those don't have good reception.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. I don't know whether she wants us to stay on here or not, but I guess we can, you know,
keep
I don't
on.
Know. Yeah, well, you know, I don't know whether she wanted to say anything about anything else about Easter and whatever, but her next thing is Easter versus resurrection.
Uh-huh.
So she says, what is the definition of Easter, and then what is the definition of Resurrection Day?
Well, that would be the next question.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess we can keep going. For me, resurrection means, as far as dictionary, Webster's, it talks about to be awakened from sleep or death.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what happened to Jesus. He was raised from the dead on the third day.
Right.
And that's what resurrection means. It means to be raised up, brought out of a sleep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, that's basically what I say, you know, for Christians. It's the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's happened over 2,000 years ago. And the gospel gives us an account of, you know, what happens during that time of the resurrection, because if he had not been beaten, hung on the cross, went to hell and came back again and was raised from the dead, then there would be no in having, you know, saying anything about Christianity at all. So the resurrection was important, not just the resurrection, but the ascension. So that is just as important as the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus, the ascension. Because, he told us in the same way that I'm going away from you, I'm coming again. Just like this. The angels say he's coming just like this. The same Jesus that you see going, he's coming again in like manner. So it's really, you know, and it's just like for the Jews, it's a celebration of Passover. But for the Christians, because they didn't know too much about celebrating the Passover, you know, that's why they incorporate part of what the world says and, you know, easily go along with what the world says.
Yeah. Okay, Century is back.
Yeah.
Okay.
I had chimed in. I was listening. Just where we drove through, the signal just completely dropped out. But
I don't.
Yeah. So.
Yes. So we were talking about the resurrection and you know, just giving us additional information as far as the resurrection is concerned. And we were talking about how it is, you know, just, you know, yes, he was, you know, he was crucified. He was buried.
Mm-hmm.
He rose again. But important is the ascension. Because, you know, a lot of folks have no idea of what actually happened when it comes down to the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, from him getting beaten and whatever. They have no idea. They do not associate anything with that. And it tells us in Isaiah, you know, he says that he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. So there was more to the eye that took place with Jesus. And the resurrection
is just let us know that, number one, he's alive. And it just
right.
as he is, so will we be with him.
Right. So you mentioned people not understanding or knowing through the details of what happened during the crucifixion, how it correlated with what was prophesied.
Right.
Since we did discuss at the beginning the fact that at this time we have the opportunity to assist our spirit heads, of our earthly spiritual leaders in spreading the word, how would you go about ministering to people who don't understand that correlation, haven't made that correlation? So, because there is a very distinct difference in your reactions to
mm-hmm.
watching a passion play when you understand, when you see the stripes and understanding
right.
that is for me. That's
right.
my healing right,
right.
there, you know.
Right.
And getting that empathy and building that compassion and understanding the love of God through those, taking those pains upon himself for us. So how might we go about educating others on those topics like that?
Well, you know what? I think that when it comes down to talking about what Jesus did, it's really a life experience.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
You let them know that, number one, can you imagine exchanging? And that's what he did. He was in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Now, all of this was done. This is how much the Father loved us. Jesus died. This was in the plan of God before the foundation of the world. So he knew
mm-hmm.
if he made man, what was going to happen.
Right.
And he already had that plan. To
uh-huh.
redeem man. Now that's love.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing
right.
that you would go through so much excruciating pain, rejection, you were taken
uh-huh.
away from
uh-huh.
wealth, and you were made lowly for us.
Uh-huh.
Me, that's love. Because
uh-huh.
what man, what friend is going to lay down his life for his brother? Not too many
mm-hmm.
people out here going to do it. And if they do it, they're doing it for the wrong reasons.
Right.
So when it comes down to him dying and what he did and explaining to them, I tell them it is an exchange for
yeah.
mm-hmm.
my sicknesses. I got his help.
Mm-hmm.
For my
yeah.
Low self-esteem, I got his confidence. For his
mm-hmm.
Rejection, I got acceptance. So if you
mm-hmm.
you know, if you talk to them about that and let them know, you know, this is what happened. It's an exchange. So why would you want to go through that stuff again here on the earth when he has already come to exchange his goodness, his righteousness, his purity for your sins, not just your sins now, your sins in the past, your sins now, and your sins in the future. And if I may say one more thing, and then I'll leave the mic. Communion, when I say leave the mic, is I'll leave for somebody else to say. Communion, Jesus said, if you look at 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, Paul talks about the communion, and he said, as
mm-hmm.
often as you eat this bread, you do so in remembrance of my broken body. As
mm-hmm.
often as you drink wine, you do so in remembrance of my death and burial and resurrection. You do that.
Mm-hmm.
So if we, and we know, number one, that if you didn't have a cracker to do that, if you didn't have juice or whatever to do that, then going to the Word and looking at the Word to see exactly what happened and what he did, and placing yourself and saying, no, I don't think so, because Jesus exchanged that for me. He said, my peace I leave with you. So if I'm not peaceful, there's a problem.
Right.
You know, if he says, I want you to rest, he says that's the problem with the Jews. He said they circled around and around and around in the desert. He says they won't enter into his rest. Why? Because they won't accept what he did.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to leave that rest of it alone. So that's just me, okay? That's my study in the Word and knowing what the Word said.
So knowing what we know about Easter and about the resurrection day, and as far as why we as Christians celebrate the resurrection day, even though, as we know, some of us have adopted more of the social norm as far as just referring to it as Easter. Do you think, do you believe, or would you ever consider participating in Passover in and of itself, and then celebrating resurrection, like as far as celebration time of putting the thought process back on what it is we're actually celebrating and looking forward to on Resurrection Day, as opposed to the commercialization of the holiday?
I'd just like to say that, you know, when I was kind of going over this, I think you're getting to the part where you're talking about merging the two. I would just say that you wouldn't have one without the other.
Mm-hmm.
Because without the Passover, you know, without the freedom, you know, they wouldn't have anything to celebrate as far as coming out or being delivered. And then we're talking about getting to Jesus, you know, him dying. Mm-hmm. That's the celebration of new life.
Mm-hmm.
So we get to celebrate it all. I think I do. You can't have one without the other.
Right. So what I'm referring to is actually not passively acknowledging the Passover, meaning, okay, our Jewish brothers and sisters are actively acknowledging the Passover as it relates to them culturally and historically. So as Christians, why don't we celebrate our Passover? Our Passover is one of the spiritual natures, but it's still a Passover. Uh-huh. It's still us crossing into freedom out of spiritual bondage and going into and being able to celebrate the resurrection of Christ on whatever day is designated that year following the calendar. So that's where I was thinking of and leading with this, because obviously we don't know, we have not practiced the traditional Passover traditions. We weren't brought up in it. We don't have any real knowledge of what occurs day to day outside of what we can pick up and read, because you can pick it up and read, but reading it and doing it are two different things. So that's really more of where I was looking at as far as bringing it all together, as far as our, what you call it, our spiritual heritage, which is out of the Jewish faith. That's just the bottom line. The truth is we are spiritually Jews, because we practice, we follow Christ, and Christ came and fulfilled the law, so we're still all Jews, technically, spiritually.
Well, that's what the word says. The Bible says we are a Jew.
Mm-hmm.
That has nothing to do with what you were born into. It has to do with the heart.
Right.
And so if you've been, there are Jews who are less of a Jew because they do not accept Jesus Christ, then there are individuals who have accepted Jesus Christ and they are Jews. And I believe, I agree with Rose in her comment, and I agree in your comment, and I see where you're coming from. But to combine the two, the Bible tells us that, number one, we're in a new covenant. Jesus talked about a new covenant. You've got the Mosaic covenant. You've got the Abrahamic covenant, okay? I am under the Abrahamic covenant as well, not the Mosaic covenant, because the Mosaic covenant was done under the law. Jesus came and fulfilled the law because we could not do it. And so, therefore, I walk the new covenant, which Jesus said was done in my head. And in order for him to make a new covenant, anybody that knows that anytime you do a will, in order for that will to go into place, the person has to die.
Right.
And so Jesus died so that his will, his New Testament, could come into play. And as I was talking to you in 1 Corinthians 11, and if you in the 25th verse, well, actually the 24th, it says, "And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me.' After the same manner also, he took the cup which he had supped, saying, 'This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come.'" So it is every day that we should be doing this. Some of us do a semblance of the actual cracker and juice. You don't have to do it every day. You don't. But some people do. And sometimes it's for a certain period of time and whatever, and then don't do it anymore, you know, or once a month and whatever. But we should be reading the word, eating the word. That's his body. The Bible says, "In the beginning was the word was with God, and the word was God. The same came in the flesh." The word came in the flesh, and it dwelt among us. Jesus was the word of God, is the word of God. And so if we eat his body, that means that when we say eat his body, what we do, what he says do, read his word, and follow after what he says do. And guess what? We are walking in the Passover. We are walking with the death angel going over us because we know people are not walking in death, we're walking in life. I think it's an everyday thing of eating his word, partaking in the Holy Spirit, praying in the Spirit. That's the wine, just, you know, that is what he is talking about, a daily thing, you know, unless you're fasting, unless you're, you know, you're in a starvation mode or something like that. Most people eat every day. So he wants to know, you know, you should be eating, and, you know, they eat and drink every day in order to keep up their nourishment. So that's what we should be doing. Did she drop out again? She must have dropped out again. Another dead spot.
So, what they on the horse?
No, they're driving, and so Hagerstown has mountains and stuff and whatever, and they have, like, blackout, whatever, places where you can't get any reception.
Oh, well, I don't know why she's going to be still.
I don't want to know how she's going to edit out what we're talking on the phone. I hope she is. Because the wallet is going in, and we're going like, wow, what a great conversation. Boy, they're having a conversation. I mean, we can talk about what I'm going to fix for dinner today, you know, fish and baked potatoes.
Think, you know, Let's go to the next experience with others. Experience with others pertaining to, I guess, Easter and the resurrection, the difference.
Experience with others this season, social norms and traditions. Oh, she talked about that in the beginning.
Okay.
Then it says impact of shared experiences on personal development and mindset going into and through the holiday. You know,
okay.
So
mm-hmm.
She talked about those two right there. She talked about it in the beginning. Oh, she's back from out of her
dark
spot.
Yes.
I hope you can hear it.
You
I
know
hope
what?
You have
that is. It's never a dull moment. I tell you, every time, well, not every time, but every now and again, I just, you know, I have one of these episodes where just anything that can happen is happening, but that's okay.
Well,
we push through and we still get it done.
Well, yeah, he don't want
the word to go out. He don't. That's just exposing him, and you know. He knows I don't like him anyhow, so you can put it out all over the airways that I don't like him. I do not like him, never did. Don't know why I even thought about him.
Oh, Lord.
So
but, yeah.
I think we were down, you know, I talked about, you know, how we should do it every day. When we're talking about eating his bread, body, and drinking his blood, we should be in the Word every day. And
right.
You know, just like we eat food, unless we're fasting and whatever, abstaining for a reason, we should be eating his word and drinking the wine. And the wine
right.
is the Holy Spirit. That's what that is.
Right. And,
so
and that's the other part, too, that which I'm glad you brought up, because a lot of times people need to do things very literally.
Right.
That's just where they are. And then as they develop they come to understand, okay, as long as I'm doing the acknowledgement, I'm still doing what he's asked me to do by just acknowledging, and like you said, going into the word on a daily basis, you're still honoring the sacrifice.
You know,
and then we know, too, we have people that do it because they literally just do it as a way, that's literally how they've been led to keep their body healthy. Different things where people just take communion daily and they've never fallen
mm-hmm.
sick. They never have any issues. That's
mm-hmm.
what they were instructed to do and they were obedient
mm-hmm.
to it and so they haven't had any problems.
Right. And you know what? We have to keep remembering too that in God, there are layers.
Mm-hmm.
What I know may not be what somebody else may know.
Mm-hmm.
What I interpret may not be how God interprets. It's going to be the same word that can come out, that's coming out of the mouth of the preacher, might hit
mm-hmm.
10 different people 10 different ways. It's based on
mm-hmm.
the level of where they are. That's the way the word is. The word can hit in 10 different, 100 different people, where one,
mm-hmm.
there would be conviction. To another,
mm-hmm.
it would say, okay, I need to tighten up on that a little bit, you know,
mm-hmm.
or, Lord, there's something else that I don't know enough about in your word, you know. So you'd be surprised. It's layers of God. There's no way we will not ever, ever, ever get to know him. All totally and completely, but we will know him.
Right. Right. Yeah. I remember being in massage school, and one of the TAs that was helping out, we got on a discussion about God somehow. I think we were starting a portion of the energy work, learning either shiatsu or craniosacral. And the PA was saying that he didn't prescribe to any particular religion because God is just too big to put in a box, and he felt like these religions was just putting God in a box. And if this being is all-powerful, how can we ever put him in a box? And we can never know all that there is to know about this being. So why try to make him as low and as common as us? And I just was sitting there like, okay, all right, good to know where your head is. You know, but it was just interesting.
Guess what?
Yeah.
I agree. I agree with her. See, I can agree with her because that's what we try to do. We try to take and bring God down to our level. It's not happening. We have to come up to his level. And the only way that we even get to go into address the Father is through Jesus Christ.
Right.
No other way. See, that's the problem.
Right.
People try to go every other way. They try to go their own religions. They started with the Tower of Babel. They say, well, they're going to go to God and whatever. God said, nah, Got to confuse them or whatever. You know. So, yes, they have been trying that to say any other way that they can get to God or to fellowship with God. But basically it's not that way. It's saying what they're saying is in the vernacular is, you know, it don't take all of that. That's what they're saying. But it does take that in some, because if you look at anyone in any other religion, they will do it faithfully.
Right.
They will do their whatever you want to do it, whether it's Buddhism, whether it's Islam, whether it's Muslim, whether it's Eastern meditation, whatever, they will do it faithfully. But if you find the average Christian, they won't spend the time in the Bible to find out about their Father.
Right. And it is funny because, you know, people get offended and be like, who is this person telling me, like, they're not, you know, of the same belief as I am. How are they going to tell me what I'm supposed to be doing, what I believe? Because they probably know more of the Bible than you do.
Probably.
Most of
the time people have studied several.
Right. And a lot of these people that are into other systems of belief have studied several different systems. And it's just that they're still being dealt with. You know, cause they're still seeking. They're actively seeking.
But they haven't been enlightened.
They want,
the Lord has not enlightened.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. But they're actively seeking to know who God is. And so in that, they're going to find, and in that, they're also going to learn. So, yeah, they probably do know more. They probably are telling you the truth about what you're supposed to be doing right now. Because, like you said, we get lackadaisical, and we don't know our own words. And we don't have a proper relationship where we can just settle and get past our own character flaws and rest. Now I'm going to talk about myself. And just rest, you know, in the Lord when he said, you know, like you were talking about earlier, you know, you wandering around in circles in the wilderness. Why? When he just
to Christians,
told you to rest.
To Christians, rest is a four-letter word. Please don't say that.
You don't know.
Rest to some Christians is a four-letter word. I did not say sleep. I said rest.
I know.
Rest and sleep two different things, and the Bible talks it, and it's two different meanings. The world connotation of rest and the world connotation of sleep is totally different from God's connotation of rest and sleep.
Right.
And so a lot of the individuals, they come and they tell you a whole lot. They can tell you a lot about this religion and that religion, but there's only one denomination. Every last one of those people that they have put up as far as God, they're dead. There's only one individual that I know has been raised again and is alive, and that's Jesus. And how do I know that? Because he lives alive inside of me.
Right.
That's the only way I know. You know, I don't see Muhammad walk in the street. Do you see Muhammad walk? I mean, do you see Muhammad in any? They can spout out laws and do's and don'ts. That's just the law. The Bible says the law was only supposed to bring us into the realization that we could not serve God by ourselves.
Right.
that we were sinners. That's what the law was for, to let us know, hey, you can't get to God any other way but through Jesus.
Right.
And yep. The Bible dropped breadcrumbs all along the way saying, and look, this is the law, and these are just a symbol of the things that this is just a shadow of what's coming. It's just a shadow. Those symbols and those things that took place and whatever, it's just a shadow of what's coming in the future. And now we have Jesus that has died, that has been buried, that has been raised again, and has ascended, and is sitting at the right hand of the Father. Thank God he is, because guess what he's doing? He's making intercessions for me and for you.
Right.
So, Mom, you have anything to add?
No, because I really, because we've been kind of all over the place. I kind of forgot what the question was. Are we to the memorial part?
We're just about to close out.
Okay.
I feel that we have hit everything, even though we have an outline. We don't always follow, stick to directly the outline. It's whatever needs to be addressed and said. So outline is simply that, outline is just a guideline. So I try not to let people get too caught up in it, because then you'll not say whatever is actually on your heart, maybe, to say, because you'll get caught up in what's next. But with that being said, so where we're at now is, okay, so we've established that for us, it's Resurrection Day. And Passover is significant in us being reminded of the work that was done for us in our lives as we accept Christ and accept what he's done and accept that we should be living in freedom and victory and a mindset of health and wellness and wholeness, because all of that was provided at the cross and on the cross and through the resurrection, the burial and resurrection. So with that in mind, and knowing that this is our stand and our how we feel about this, I just wanted to encourage everyone to continue to go forth and, of course, continue to read your word and continue to encourage others and be the church to others until and even beyond when we're able to assemble again. If anyone has anything, close out. We have about 30 seconds left if you'd like to say anything for the people who will listen to this, and we will close.
I just want to say, you know, in everything that's been said, it's all about Jesus. It is all about his love. And if we remember and just move towards how much he loves us, then looking at the one thing in front of another thing in front of another thing, what's the next thing and whatever, and just look at and concentrate on his love, we will be able to move forward, because that's the first thing he says, love God with all your heart, with all your might, with all your strength, and then we are to love our neighbors as ourselves.
All right, Amen. That is perfect closeout, and thank you guys for being on today. I truly appreciate it, and I look forward to catching up with all the listeners. I am in 2 weeks, so thanks again. Have a great day.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.